for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, December the 29th, 2005. The speaker of the morning is Jerry McGee, speaking on the wrath of God.
Should this for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Amen. Okay, Jerry, come and bring us the word of the Lord this morning.
Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to come. I always get blessed. I love this camp because I always come away getting refreshed. I love the teaching here. The awesome teaching you don't get in the church today. I hate to say that, but you don't. I really appreciated what Brother Pittman said last night. And I felt that I was to teach a message. But then after he said what he said, the Lord redirected me to teach on the wrath of God today. Some months ago, God just gave me a message on the wrath of God. And so I guess this was one of the reasons that he gave it, was to add to what Brother Pittman said. I really appreciated what he said about if you want the truth of the word, you go and do word studies on every subject and it'll give you total truth. I've been doing that for years, and when I prepare a message, that's how I do. I take every scripture that has to do with that particular subject, and if I've got a physical problem, I just take all the scriptures. If it's a leg problem, I repent over the leg scriptures, my leg gets healed. And if I have an ear problem, repent over the ear scriptures, and my ear gets healed. Like if it says, because you've done this, I'm going to do this. Well, Lord, forgive me for doing this that would cause this. And then break generational curses. And I've had tremendous healing come in my life through doing that. So I was really encouraged. I knew that that was an answer, but when he confirmed it when he said, if you want the truth of God's word, take every scripture. Don't just take one scripture. Take every scripture. And I appreciated what he said about him keeping his Y2K stuff. I kept mine too. I'm going to go home and build a chicken pen now. You know, Y2K really hadn't got here yet. It's going to be worse than Y2K. And we shouldn't live in fear, because God is going to take care of us, but we better walk in repentance. That's the only thing that's going to save you. Because God's word says that if your ways please the Lord, he makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. And Psalms 41:10 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. And so we need to continually walk in repentance as a lifestyle, not just as a one-time thing. And so the title of this message is On the Wrath of God. There's things in God's word that makes him mad. Sin makes him mad. In Nahum 1, it says, the Lord is a jealous God and avenging. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and of great might, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is a whirlwind and a storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon fades. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth is laid waste before him, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. You know, there are many professing Christians today that feel like that repentance and the wrath of God is something that they need to apologize for, or they disregard because we're in a new covenant. You know, all through the ages, people have known about covenant. When you break covenant, there's a death that comes when you break covenant. Hebrews 9 says, a covenant is not valid unless men are dead. And what that means is not commit suicide dead or dead. It means when we die to our flesh, then the covenant is valid. When you and I live after our flesh, we invalidate the covenant of God, and it opens us up to a spirit of death. Romans 8 says that if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so many professing Christians are just really believers in their head. They're not believers in their heart. There are many professing Christians, and I believe probably 80% at least of what calls themselves Christians are so-called believers. What they've had in their head has never got down to their heart. Jesus said you have to be born again. You know, if I talk about being born again and you don't quite understand, do you mean I prayed a prayer, and you don't really quite understand it, you know, chances are you need to be born again. You can't explain being born again except to say that you're different. You're not the way you used to be, because the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And so many people in the so-called believers, they don't want to hear a word of repentance. Just this week, a girl emailed me, and I had sent out an email, and she said that I was under the law. And she just gave me what she thought, and I just kept giving her scriptures that says you have to die to your flesh. You don't obey to be saved, you obey because you are. You're saved by grace, but obedience is the fruit of salvation. And if you're not walking in obedience, or at least trying to, stumbling around trying to walk in obedience, you need to check out your salvation. You need to be born again. And others in the church, they harbor the delusion that God's wrath is not consistent with His goodness. Therefore, they just kind of banish that from their thoughts. And as we search the Scriptures, we find that God has made no attempt to conceal the facts about His wrath. He's not ashamed to make known that vengeance and fury belong to Him. If you'll go to Deuteronomy 32, please, in verse 39. His challenge in Deuteronomy 32, 39 through 41 is, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. For I whet my glittering sword, and mine hand takes hold of judgment. I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me." Now let's see, according to the word of God, those who hate Him. John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me," which is the opposite of hate, right? "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So therefore you could say, if you don't keep my commandments, you hate me. Because hate is the opposite of love. Those who pretend obedience, it says in Psalms 81:15, that those that pretend obedience hate the Lord. I'm not going to read all of these because there's too many. And as I said, this teaching really came out. I took every scripture in the Word of God that said the wrath of God, and that composed this message. Things that bring about the wrath of God in our lives. Those who exalt themselves, it says in Psalms 83, those who exalt themselves hate the Lord. Proverbs 14:2 says those who are crooked, which is perverse, in their way despise the Lord. That means God has a straight path for us to walk, and if we walk crooked, it means we deviate from His path. So perverse is crooked. Perverse is stubborn to do evil, where steadfast is stubborn to do righteousness. You know, steadfast and stubborn, steadfast and perverse are alike in that one is stubborn to do evil, which is perverse or crooked, and steadfast is to be stubborn for the things of God. That's a good thing. Be the kind of person that would face a firing squad to stand for your faith. That's being stubborn for your faith. And there may come a day when you and I have to do that. And I don't like to suffer, and I pray that never happens to me, but I pray for the grace of God to endure it when it comes. You know, the Bible says if we're falling down in a land of peace, what are we going to do in the thicket of the Jordan? when this thing comes, if you can't walk in victory now, what are you going to do when all of this comes? It's too late then. Those who make themselves, and that's in Proverbs 14:2, those who are crooked. And let me tell you, if you grew up with harsh, stiff, stern, judging, unmerciful parents, this kind of word will scare you to death. And so, please know at the end we'll deal with parents. Now, if you grew up with parents that were all full of grace and mercy like my parents were, it's hard for you to even see God as a God of judgment and justice. And so how you grow up, how your judgments of your parents, how you see your mother and father, unconsciously you're viewing God the same way. If your parents were too easy, didn't discipline you, God's going to let me by with anything. No, He's not. That's a lie. And so if you grew up with harsh, stiff, stern, evil, cruel parents that victimized you, this message, because you're legalistic, you have a perverted view of God, it'll cause you to have a demonic fear. So don't leave. Just let's deal with that at the end, okay? God is a merciful God. He doesn't look at your clay and say, "Clay, you're just too bad. Chunk you. You got too much junk." But He looks at a heart that says, "God, I am a mess, but here I am. I don't know how to obey You, but if You show me, I'm willing. I don't know how to overcome this problem, but God, I cry out that You help me overcome it." You know, He's the clay, He's the potter, and I'm the clay. And some of you, if you grew up with a harsh, stiff, stern mother and father, you think God's going to say, "Clay, you're too bad, get out of here." God's not like that. You know, my little granddaughter, I can use this as an illustration. When she was just 7 or 8 months old, trying to walk, that little tooth, she'd get up and she'd take a few steps and she'd fall down and she'd get up and she'd try and she'd fall. I didn't run over and say, "Oh, you stupid kid, you fell down." I saw that little heart that was trying to get to God. A little heart that was trying to get to me. And God's not going to kick you down when you're trying to learn to walk. Okay, He has great mercy. He looks at your heart. He does not look at the mess. But you better be trying to overcome the mess. Right? And then the other person that hates God, the Bible says in James, "You adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity toward God? For whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And so those that hate the Lord. A study in a concordance will show you there are more references to God's judgment and His fury and His anger and His wrath than there are to His love and His tenderness. Psalm 7:11 says, "Because God is holy, He hates all sin, and because He hates all sin, His anger burns against the sinner." Now, the good news is if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And please know, this is not a legalistic message. This is to tell you what God's Word says, and we better line ourselves up with it. And it's a walk. You're not going to be perfect today. You're not going to be perfect till you enter eternity. We're not talking about perfect. We're talking about yieldedness. We're talking about making Jesus Lord and Master. Doesn't mean perfect, because you'll never be perfect till you enter heaven. We're not talking about trying to turn the potter's wheel. We're talking about yielding to the potter. And the potter does everything else, isn't that right? All the clay does is sit on the potter's wheel. The potter takes the junk out. He turns the potter's wheel. He adds water to make the clay pliable. He takes out the junk. You know, in olden days, they had to dig the clay out of the ground. They had rock sticks and weeds and leaves in it. God takes out your junk, but you've got to come to the potter. And that means give up control of your life. You know, without your will being broken, without brokenness, God will never use you to the full extent that He wants to use you. You can't have your way. Galatians says you can't do the things you please anymore. The wrath of God is as much a divine perfection as His faithfulness, His power, and His mercy. There is no blemish or defect in the character of God, yet would be if the wrath of God were left out. How could he who's infinitely holy disregard sin and refuse to manifest his severity? Romans 11 says, if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Speaking of the Jews. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God to those who fail, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. How could he who delights only in that which is pure and lovely not loathe and hate that which is impure and vile? He wouldn't be God if he condoned that. The wrath of God is his eternal detestation of all unrighteousness. God is angry against sin because it is rebelling against his authority. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. We are ever prone to regard sin lightly, especially our own. You know, if we were as patient with other people as we are ourselves, we're not. It's easy for us to see other people's sin and not see our own. These past years, God's been dealing with me about my stuff. I mean, he's been doing it the whole time, but you know, so many times we think we're going to try to change others. We don't see ourselves and that we need to be changed. How we change others is to change ourselves first. Get the log out of your own eye, and then their speck will either fall out, roll out. You won't care if they have it, or God will change them, or your perception of them will change. But as long as you have a log in your eye, their speck is getting on your last nerve. We cannot serve him acceptably unless there's a due reverence for his awful majesty and a reverence for his righteous anger. It kind of helps if we continually call to mind that our God is a consuming fire. We sing that in a song, but we don't live it. And so what are William Gurnall said in 1660, nothing so sweet as the patience and goodness of God, and nothing so terrible as his wrath when it takes fire. Now, what are some of the things? These are things that the Bible says bring about the wrath of God. Number one is rebellion. The scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and all iniquity, all sin is as idolatry. The scripture says no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. Deuteronomy 9:7 says, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. That brings about the wrath of God. The next thing is idolatry. 2 Chronicles 24:18, and there were other scriptures to go with these, but I just tried to select maybe one or two. 2 Chronicles 24:18 says, and they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Now, how do you know you have an idol? You know, you think, well, we don't worship Buddhas, and we don't bow down to this, or we don't bow down to Asherim and false gods. How do you know you have an idol? Anything that rains on your parade, there's an idol behind it. Anything that makes you angry, anything that depresses you, anything that hurts you, anything that makes you fearful, there's an idol behind it. And I like what Chris Simpson says, that attached to your anger is a hot wire that's attached to an idol, and you have to dismantle those things. And so when one of these things cropped up, we say, okay, Lord, where is the idol here? And lay it down. Do like Abraham did Isaac. Take it up the mountain and say, God, take this thing and don't ever let me have it again. I give you that idol. Any place you're touchy, any place you get your parade rained on, there's an idol behind it. Deuteronomy 32 says, because the children of Israel worshiped demons, they worshiped idols, they worshiped demons, and God gave them over to anger, jealousy, destruction, plague, terror. They lost their understanding. Their vine was bitter. But then he said, the good news is I will have compassion on my people when I see that their strength is gone. So anything that we're wounded, if you're wounded in any area, there's an idol behind it, because when you were wounded, you didn't go to God. You turned to a false god. For example, if Glenn hurts my feelings when I leave here, if Glenn hurts my feelings, I'll either have one or two choices. I'll say, Lord, I forgive Glenn. What are you trying to show me through this? What message are you trying to get through to me? Now, that's going to God, and that's the sorrow that leads to repentance. But if I just make a little thing in my heart, well, I'll just treat him the same way. I'll just ignore him. I won't call him no more. I won't write him. I won't have nothing to do with him. I just turned to a false god, didn't I? Didn't I? I was turning to something else instead of a substitute god. That's the sorrow that leads to death. And then if I do that, I have a wound there from now on. So that's where the wounds are. If you're a person that just hot-tempered and have wounds all over, you need to repent of your idolatry. Because in these last days, we better not have any other gods but him. And it may take some shaking us up to show us. Lord, let us find out now when we're living in a day of peace so we'll be prepared for the thicket of the Jordan when it comes. And it will come. You know, we sing this song, "This is the air we breathe." That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. It is. You are the air I breathe. If he was the air we breathe, we wouldn't be having fits, foaming at the mouth and falling in it. Or being fearful. Or depressed. Because we would know, hey, you are the Lord, we follow the glory cloud. Lord, you are in charge. You are in control. And you love us. But wherever we're striving, we're fretting, we're stewing, and we do it over idolatry. We get married and we have expectations. Well, when I get married, I'm going to find somebody that loves me. When I get married, these are big eyes. When I get married, I'm going to find someone who will listen to me. And always comfort me. Have you ever noticed it never works? He is your comforter. He's the one you're to look to. No human can ever meet those needs that only God can meet. I've been a widow since 1999. And I can tell you this is the happiest day of my life. Every day gets better when you follow the Lord. And I never get lonely because God is always there. I never have a thought of ever being lonely. And a lot of times I'm by myself a lot. During the week, I'm by myself. And I like that. I like to be with God. The Bible says that He is your bridegroom. Jesus is your bridegroom. Glenn's bridegroom. My bridegroom. The men in this room's bridegroom. And He's the best bridegroom I ever had. Mocking God's messengers causes the wrath of God. 2 Chronicles 36:16 says, "But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people until there was no remedy." How about this? Have you ever told somebody this, or has somebody ever told you something? Well, you know, God's Word says this. And they say, well, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. You know what? I told someone the other day, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what God's Word says. That's all that matters is His Word. And you know, I don't believe anything that I wouldn't change if God showed me it was different right here. Because I want to line up with God's Word. And I know that you do too. Generational, another thing that brings the wrath of God is the generational iniquities of the forefathers. The Bible says that the sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. It's 10 generations for bestiality, and it's 10 generations for, not bestiality, it's 10 generations for incest, it's 10 generations for illegitimate birth. So it goes 10 generations until it's broken. Ezra 5:12 says, "Because our fathers had provoked the God of heaven to wrath, He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this temple and deported the people to Babylon." And then the sins of our mouth and pride bring about the wrath of God. Psalms 59:12 says, "On account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride, and on account of the curses and lies which they utter, destroy them in wrath, destroy them that they may be no more, that men may know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth." And then spiritual adultery brings about the wrath of God, and I believe this is where about 80% at least of the church is. If I make a covenant to give my heart to Jesus, and I make a covenant with Him to be His holy bride, and then my heart goes after other lovers, then I'm a spiritual adulterer. And that's in Isaiah 51:17. It says, "Rouse yourself, arise, Jerusalem, you who've drunk from the Lord's hand the cup of his anger, the chalice of reeling, you have drained it to the dregs. And you can read that all the way to the end of Isaiah 51:21. Verse 18 says, there's none to guide her among all the sons she's born. There's no one to take her by the hand. Verse 19 says, these two things have befallen you, who will mourn over you, the devastation and destruction, famine and sword. How shall I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. And you know, a lot of our fainting comes in because we weren't trained up in the way we should go. Because we faint because we have a perverted image of God. In Hebrews 12, it says, when you go through God's discipline, don't faint. And it says, we all had earthly fathers and we respected them. How much more God disciplines us. And that word, we respected earthly fathers. In a good sense, it means respected. But if we couldn't respect our earthly fathers, it means that they confounded us, which means confused us, made us feel mixed up, damned, and uneasy about God. And right there, if our parents, we could not respect our parents, then it causes us to have a perverted image of God. And so those issues have to be dealt with. Unconsciously, we don't go to God because we think he's like our dad or mom. We're afraid of God, or if we judged our parents for having no sense, we don't go to God. Well, when I go to him, he's stupid, just like mom and dad. See, unconsciously, however you treated or viewed your mother and father, you're treating God the same way. I have people tell me, well, God told me this and God told me that. And I've observed them in my ministry. They're so full of rebellion, they never submitted to authority in their life, and they're telling me God told them. I don't think so. If you never listen to your mother and father, you're not listening to God either. Jeremiah 25:15 says, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, says to me, take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. Revelation 16:19, and the great city was split into three parts, and the cities and the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. Now, that's a picture. If you'll go to Revelation 18, we always think, especially if we grew up Baptist like I did, we think the Catholic Church is the great harlot. The great harlot is any church member that doesn't crucify the flesh, that every church member that lives after the flesh. The great harlot church is that church that doesn't teach repentance. Revelation 18, please. It says, and he cried out with a loud, mighty voice, crying, Babylon, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit. This is speaking of a harlot church. In the church is a dwelling place of every unclean spirit because they're not teaching repentance. And become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean, hateful bird. Now, a bird can't put you in prison, can he? So it's talking, and this is the type and shadow of demons. For all the nations have drank of the wine of her passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. Can somebody see? And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come up out of her, my people, lest you participate in her sins and you receive of her plagues. I'm having a hard time seeing my Bible, so I'm just, if I say something wrong, correct me. It says, pay her back as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed for others, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself. And you see that today, how the church is glorifying herself. And live sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. In her heart she says, I sit as queen. And I, in other words, I have a king and he's Jesus and I'm the queen. And I'm not a widow because my bridegroom is Jesus. And I'll never see mourning because I'm saved by grace and I'm under the new covenant. You hear that attitude all over. People do not want to hear about repentance. It says, for this reason, in one day, her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. That's speaking of the harlot church, and that's speaking of the church member that won't make Jesus Lord, give up control of their lives. The next thing that brings the wrath of God is theft, murder, adultery, swearing falsely, and offering sacrifices to Baal. You say, well, that didn't fit me because I don't worship Baal. Baal means Lord possessor. Whatever you let control you, Romans says, becomes your master. Jeremiah 7, verse 9. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you've not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say we're delivered. And that's what many people say. I couldn't have a demon because I'm a church member. That you may do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it. And then read all of that, but I'm going to read the last verse of that. Jeremiah 7:20 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, and on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Another thing that brings the wrath of God is worldliness. Jeremiah 42, verse 18, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and wrath have poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And that's the type of us running for the world, being a worldly. And you'll become a curse and an object of horror and imprecation and reproach, and you'll see this place no more. The next thing that brings the wrath of God is priests who do violence to His law and do not make a distinction between the holy and the profane. Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they've not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. And then read that there to 31, but I'm just going to read the last verse. It says, thus I poured out my indignation on them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. You know, in some places it looks like these types of teachers are prospering, but not ultimately. Maybe the little sheep that are maybe wandering around trying to please God to try to walk in victory in the land of peace, so that in the thicket of the Jordan, they may can be helping a few people. And I really believe that's why we go through a lot of the trials we go through, because God's shaking loose things in our lives that are unshakable, so that those things that will not shake loose will remain. Amen? And I thank God for His shakings. I thank God for His discipline. I thank God that since I came to know Him, growing up, I can't remember having anything, suffering about anything. I had a happy home, a happy childhood, was blessed, had a loving mom and dad. But after I got saved, my goodness, somebody called me Miss Job one year. Husband left me for his secretary. I had a son that was a homosexual, died of AIDS in 1989. But I can tell you, everything I went through, because I went to God with it, God, what are you trying to show me? What do you want me to do? And really the whole seminar came out of what God taught me in my pain. I never learned anything in the abundance and in all the, when things were going great. If you just think back, if you learned too much about your successes, if you're wise, you've learned by your suffering. Living after the flesh, Ezekiel 26:14, this is another thing that brings the wrath of God. It says, and I'll lay my vengeance on Edom, which represents the church who lives after the flesh. Edom is another word for Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, see to it no person be like godless Esau, who sold his birthright for flesh. And said, even after he cried tears, but God rejected him because he found no place for repentance. I used to read that and I think, well, that don't sound like God to reject anybody. But it says because he wouldn't repent, God rejected him. And then disobedience. Go to John 3:36. I tell you, I believe in salvation by grace. I've been a Christian going on 42 years now, 41, 42 years. And I have never doubted my salvation, not one day in 42 years. I accepted the Lord when I was 18 at a Billy Graham crusade, and my life didn't change. I kept smoking, I kept cussing, I kept telling dirty jokes. It was no different. Got baptized, which was really just took a bath. But 5 years later, I got born again, and my life has been totally transformed since then. I got saved reading the Word. And 2 weeks after I was born again, I didn't know what happened to me. All of a sudden, I knew something was different. A curse word came out of my mouth 2 weeks later, and I said, God, that doesn't sound like anything that should come out of a Christian's mouth. And that day, God delivered me from profanity. That day, almost 42 years ago, I was listening to a thing honoring Billy Graham the other day, and this is something that really convicted me. They asked him if he could live his life over. I'm just going to kind of throw this in. If he could live his life over, what would he do different? And he said, I'd read the Word of God more. And that convicted me. I thought, I need to read the Word of God more. I want to live my life in such a way that on my dying day, I don't have any regrets. And I have great admiration for Billy Graham, the man that has won more people to Christ than any other human being that has ever lived on this earth. And I am a Billy Graham. I've been converted to Christ through Billy Graham. I've heard people say, well, you know, he's a false prophet. Well, I don't know. All I know is I got born again. I got saved. And I am a life that can testify of his ministry to me. And I just thought, Jerry, you need to read the Word of God more. I don't want on my dying day to think I didn't do anything I should have done. And so that's just something to be thrown in. Okay, John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Now, is this saying save lost, save lost? No, it's just saying your walk proves what you're walking after. If you're saved, you're going to obey him. If you're not saved, you won't. Ungodliness and suppressing the truth in unrighteousness is another thing that brings the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that passage goes on and say that even though they knew God, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And then it talks about all kind of perversion they get into and says, because of this, God gave them over to a reprobate mind or depraved mind, which I believe is one of the major roots to Alzheimer's. If there's ever a time in your life you quit pursuing God and you start going backwards, can I tell you, you open yourself up to a reprobate mind. You got to continually be going forward, overcoming those things. The promises of God are to the overcomer, not the overcome. We've been overcome. I've been overcome in a lot of areas, but I'm working to get free of those areas. The next thing that brings the wrath of God is stubbornness and an unrepentant heart. Romans 2:5 says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So we're storing it up. We say, well, I don't see wrath hadn't hit me. Well, God says, hey, you're storing it up. The next thing that brings the wrath of God is sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, covetousness, impurity, passion, evil desire, which is all idolatry. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, please. It says, but do not let sexual immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk. You know, just being silly. There should be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, same things that are just a little off color, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no sexually immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You know, I had a lady email me one day, and she said, pray for me. She said, the devil is doing a number on me. She said, and I'm trying, I'm having to go to the gynecologist, I'm having to go to the doctor, I have all these physical problems. And she said, I've been trying to witness to my atheist boyfriend. And I emailed her back and I said, number one, I said, the devil is not doing anything to you. God is disciplining you for your disobedience. Number one, what are you, a Christian, have to do with an atheist? There's one thing to witness to an atheist, but it's another thing to be have an atheist for a boyfriend when God says don't join yourself unequally with an unbeliever. And I said, and if you are committing sexual sin with him, you have a soul tie with him. And I said, even if he does get saved, do you want a baby Christian being your high priest because of the blind leads the blind, they all fall in the ditch? And I said, and besides that, even if he told me I was saved, he was saved, I wouldn't believe it. Because I've seen many people profess to know Christ to get a man or get a woman, and the minute they get him, they become a devil. She emailed me back and she said, thank you, nobody has ever told me that. Thank you for being loving me enough to be honest with me. She said, it broke my heart, but I broke up with him, and she said, every physical problem I had left, every one of them. Because, see, through a soul tie, you get a soul. Your soul is your personality, your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, your conscience. You get all of what's in them. You get it. And so, anyway, praise God. But you know what? That's not taught in the church, because I think it's Henry Wright or James Dobson that says 80% of pastors are into pornography. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, I think, or 44, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So you better be sitting under a word that is purifying you. You're not going to sit under a perfect pastor. I mean one that is as repentant as he knows how to be. One that's prayed up and confessed up. I can tell you today that I'm prayed up, confessed up. There's not one sin I have holding on to and haven't confessed. But you know what? God looks down from heaven and he sees so many things that he's going to yet show me about me. So I'm not talking about perfect person. I'm talking about a pastor that is as submitted to God as they know how to be. And they're walking in repentance. And they're seeking to know God better. Paul said, though death works in me, life works in you. If I'm standing up here alive to my flesh, I'm working death in you. But if I'm dead to my flesh, I'm working life in you. And you may not like what I'm saying, but it is the Word of God. And it's been watered down too much. And God does not take pleasure in a watering down of His Word. It's amazing to me how many people that call themselves Christians that think nothing of shacking up. God says, no adulterer or fornicator will enter the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, I prayed a prayer. Well, you better repent if you did, because God says you're not going to get there. I had I emailed this thing about voting in Texas to vote against this homosexual marriage amendment, and I had a couple of homosexuals write me. They said, you know, why are you coming against homosexuality? I just gave them the whole scripture. I said, you know what? It's not homosexuality. It's any sin. Homosexuality, adultery, fornication, all sin God hates. My sin, I said, he hates my sin. He hates your sin. He hates sin. And then Colossians 3:5 says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Now, if you look up the word in a lot of translations, if you look up the word immorality in the Greek, it means fornication. So the translators translate immorality, but it's sexual immorality, fornication. Okay. If the law is fulfilled when I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and body and strength, I become a lawbreaker if I don't walk in love. And in Matthew 5, it says, if I'm angry with my brother, I go into a spiritual, I better get over it, or I go into a spiritual prison. In whatever area you're angry toward another person, you go into a prison in the area you're angry. Matthew 18 says, when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the torturers, and that's demons that inflict pain. It's the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor stretches someone out on a rack. He's a jailer that stretches someone on a rack, and he tortures him till he gets what he wants. And so an inquisitor is a jailer that tortures somebody till they get what they want. And it also means the pain of disease. And I personally believe that 99% of sickness and disease has at its roots unforgiveness. The wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness, and I want you to see this in the Word of God. Go to 1 Chronicles 21, please. 1 Chronicles 21 is really a story where David outnumbered Israel. Verse 1 says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the princes of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word that I may know their number.' And Joab said, 'May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why does my lord seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel?'" Verse 7, "And God was displeased with this thing," because David went ahead and numbered Israel. "And God was displeased with this thing, so he struck Israel. And David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now please take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.'" Verse 14, "So the Lord sent a pestilence in Israel, and 70,000 people of Israel fell because of David's sin." God have mercy on us, because we're a part of this country that's killing little babies. Perversion, immorality, pornography, nudity just is permeating this society. God have mercy on us. And it may take some more Katrinas to shake us all up. And we don't have to live on the coast for Katrina to get us. Okay, I want you to hold this place, and I want you to go. We're going to look. I want you to see two places. In 2 Samuel, God gives the same account in 2 Samuel, but I want you to see that the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. Ephesians 2 says, "The spirit that works in the sons of disobedience." Satan is the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. 2 Samuel 24. Hold your Bible like this, if you've got your Bible. On this side it says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." And then over here it says, "Now again the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and it," the anger of the Lord, "incited David against them to say, 'Go number Israel.'" Here it says Satan was the anger of the Lord. Do you see that? It's like when we're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, on His potter's wheel, and I'm not talking about perfect, we're safe. We step out of the will of God, and we're out in Satan's territory. And I know God is pleased with me when the enemy is not shouting triumph over me. Out here, the fiery darts are flying. Out here, the pestilence stalks at noontime. Out here, the destruction lays waste at noon. But because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil shall befall me, where no plague will come near my dwelling. It's talking about a clay full of junk submitted to the potter. Submitted for the potter to take out the junk. If I'm teaching legalism, I'd be teaching you to turn the potter's wheel yourself. There's a difference between me trying to do it myself versus saying, "God, I cannot do it, but here I am." There's a difference. That's not legalism. Legalism is to try to do it yourself is legalism. It's legalism if you think you have to keep a set of rules. It's abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, you produce much fruit, the Word of God says. And the good news is Romans 5:9, "Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." Before I close this morning, I want to ask you, are you a believer in your head? Are you a so-called believer? Or have you been born again? And I'm not talking about praying a prayer. I'm talking about a time when your heart was different and you couldn't do the things you used to do. When I first got saved, I thought probably I did God maybe a favor because I was a, quote, good girl. He had to let me see my sin. Amen? I want you to stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you, and then I want to lead you in repentance of all these things. You know, if you've done these things and you got saved and you've not repented of the things you've done in the past, then you still have bondage in that area, in these areas. It can still open you up. You say, well, I used to do these things, and I've already asked God to forgive me. Well, ask the Lord to show you if there's anything He wants you to repent of right now. And when you're through repenting, if you'll sit down, then I'll lead you in repentance. And of all the things that we've discussed, and then we'll do deliverance. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against any person in this room, this camp, Glenn, Patty, her husband, any person here in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you that I have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and I loose wisdom, insight, the conviction of sin, the fear of the Lord, and a spirit of repentance upon your people, Lord. Lord, I ask, pray with me, Lord, I ask you to let me know the truth that sets me free. Lord, I've been falling down in a land of peace, and I don't want to fall down in the thicket of the Jordan because it'll be too late. So, Lord, I want to repent of whatever you show me. You said your Holy Spirit will lead me into all truth and tell me everything I need to know. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I can't do it myself, but I'm willing to obey you. And then just sit down when you're through repenting. If you'll just sit down when you're through, not till you're through. Now, I first want to deal with, if you had a harsh, stiff, stern, legalistic, performance-oriented type of mother and father, you think God's just like that. And God is not interested in your performance. He's interested in your yieldedness. He knows you can't do it. He wants to do it for you, but you got to get on the altar. You got to yield your life. Give up control of your life to Him. Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, if you had an earthly mother and father that was like that, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive. Pray with me. I forgive my mother and father for being harsh, stiff, stern, unforgiving, legalistic, controlling, performance-oriented, and I forgive them that there was never mercy. I forgive them that they expected me to do it myself and perform. And I forgive them. And Lord, forgive me for seeing you the same way. As a God of judgment, a God of vengefulness, but not a God of mercy. And Lord, you're not like that at all. You're a God of mercy and love. And Lord, I forgive. And I break soul ties with my mother and father. I sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine, that would open me up to a demonic soul tie. In Jesus' name. And Lord, in Jesus' name, now if you had a mother and father like me that was too easy, Lord, I forgive my mother and father that they were too easy. There was no discipline, no correction, no spankings, no retribution for my bad behavior. And Lord, I received a lie that you're not going to punish me either. And I forgive my mother and father for not training. Y'all say it with me. I forgive my mother and father for not training me up in the way I should go. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for disregarding your wrath. For thinking that because I'm saved by grace that I don't have to obey anymore. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for idolatry, pretending obedience. Everybody pray. Hating you, not keeping your commandments, pretending obedience. Forgive me for exalting myself, being crooked and perverse and stubborn to do evil. Forgive me for despising you. Forgive me for spiritual adultery, making myself a friend of the world, and making myself your enemy. Lord, would you please forgive me for rebellion, witchcraft, idolatry, having other gods, being hot-tempered, touchy, not taking my wounds to you. Forgive me for being unforgiving. Lord, would you please forgive me for mocking God's messengers? Forgive me for the sins of my mouth and for pride. God, I forgive my forefathers for provoking you to wrath, which would cause me to be judged and be born under your wrath because of the disobedience of my forefathers. I forgive them. Forgive me for spiritual adultery. God, would you please forgive me for a theft, murder, adultery, swearing falsely, offering sacrifices to Baal, worldliness. I forgive all the preachers and priests that I've had that have done violence to your law, not taught the difference between the holy and profane. And Lord, I'm a priest as a believer. Forgive me for doing violence to your law, not being in your word. Forgive me for not making a distinction between the holy and the profane. Forgive me for living after the flesh and being just like Esau, selling my birthright for flesh. Forgive me for disobedience, ungodliness, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, having a stubborn, unrepentant heart. Forgive me for sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, covetousness, impurity, passion, evil desire, which is all idolatry. Forgive me, Lord, for holding anger and unforgiveness toward other people. Forgive me for breaking covenant with you because I have not loved you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and I have not loved my neighbor as myself. Lord, I confess my sins, and I thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Lord, if I've never been born again, I pray that whatever it takes, you'll put what's in my head in my heart. You know, the way you're born again is you'll never be born again till you're willing to give up your life. Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you lose it. You give up your life for my sake, you'll find it. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I love what Derek Prince says. Your cross is not your mate. Your cross is not your bills, although that can be a burden. Your cross is not your children. Your cross is not your mother and father. It's not your ministry. It's not your job. It's not your boss. Your cross is where your will crosses God's will. Amen? So, Lord, forgive me that I've lived after the flesh from this day forward. Lord, I'm like a little baby falling down, but I've got to get to you, my God. And there's so much wrong with me. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't look at the mess and you don't say, chunk you. You look at my heart that says I got to get to my daddy God in Jesus' name. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers for violating all these scriptures that I just confessed that has brought the wrath of God on me. And Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. In Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for every person I've sinned with in all of these things. I just take the sword of the Spirit and I cut all soul ties between myself and any person that I have sinned with in any of these sins that would bring the wrath of God upon me. In Jesus' name, I call back everything of mine that got on them, and I send back everything of theirs that got on me. And I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And Lord, I take my junky clay and I put it on your potter's wheel because that's the safe place. I give up control of my life in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Now every demon power has to leave now in Jesus' name. I break the power of every demon carrying out the wrath of God upon any person in this room. In the name of Jesus, I command spirits of rebellion, idolatry, mocking spirits, I command you to leave. in the name of Jesus, sins of all spirits of sins of mouth and pride, lying, pride, leave now in Jesus' name. Spiritual adultery, I break the curse of the law of jealousy that would cause their stomach to swell and their thigh to waste away. I command all demons that came in through spiritual adultery, I command you to go. All demons of theft, murder, swearing falsely, all spirits that came in through Baal, worldliness, I command you to go. All spirits that came in through priests who did violence to the law of God and who did not teach the holy from the profane, we break soul ties with every false teacher in Jesus' name. We just command demons that came in through living after the flesh, we command you to go. All spirits that came in through disobedience, ungodliness, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. All spirits that came in through sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, out in Jesus' name. Spirits of silliness, coarse jesting, out in Jesus' name. Spirits of covetousness, impurity, out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of passion and evil desire, out in Jesus' name. All spirits of fainting that came in through not having a mom and dad that they could depend on and trust. All spirits of fainting, giving up, quitting, bailing out, go! All spirits of death, leave in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of a lamb. And I command demonic fear of God that came in through being fearful of earthly parents. I command all demonic fear, go! And Lord, I loose upon them a true fear of God that turns them away from evil. You know, demonic fear of God would keep you from approaching the throne of grace. If you grew up with harsh, stiff parents, you want to go to God, but you think, oh, He's just like mom and dad. But the true fear of God, that's a demonic fear of God, and that comes in through harsh, unforgiving parents. But the true fear of God will cause you to turn from your sin and run into God's arms. Amen? Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. How many of you felt some freedom then? Put your hands up if you did. Praise God. Maybe did I scare the rest of you to death? Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for letting me come.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.